VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk. It's a News Roundup Friday today, and we've got a lot of stories that have been gathered this week here to keep you informed on critical issues. And I trust that as we do so, that it will burden your heart in one way or another to be in prayer for our nation. Perhaps some of these stories are going to touch you in a way that is more significant to you than to others, and vice versa. But certainly the truths from Scripture and the importance of recognizing that the nation is blessed whose God is the Lord. And we see how far we are straying from biblical truth, biblical principles, and so this is really a call for a revival to take place across our land, revival in our individual lives, revival within our churches, to be serious about that which God has called us to do, to be salt and to be light, to share the good news of the gospel. Matter of fact, tomorrow we're holding at our camp over at Trail Ridge in Hillsboro, Wisconsin. We've got many individuals gathering together just for the matter of prayer, and looking forward to spending that time with many in this very regard. And we would encourage you, no matter where you are, to spend time in personal prayer and corporate prayer for the very likes of the issues we're talking about today, but how badly this world is in need of a Savior. As we look at stories today, do you know what is happening today, this very day, Friday, August 23rd? The Council on American Islamic Relations is joining a coalition of Muslim organizations and hosting voter registration drives at more than 50 locations nationwide in honor of what's being called National Muslim Voter Registration Day. It's being led by M Power Change and its partners M Gage USA, CARE, American Muslim Advisory Council, and Georgia Muslim Voter Project. The coalition consists of organizations working on both the local and national levels. The goal of these efforts, to register and further engage Muslim voters. It's the responsibility of every American Muslim to register to vote and ensure the growth of our community's political strength and capacity, said Rula Alak, National Board Chair of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Linda Sarsour, who is co-founder of M Power Change, said, quote, in a time of heightened Islamophobia, Muslims are more politically engaged than ever. Our votes matter. It's why no 2020 Democratic primary candidate can win the presidential nomination without the Muslim community. The Muslim American community is poised to play a historical role in the 2020 presidential elections. Muslim Americans are voting in record numbers. In the last midterm election, now, I'm reading this from CARE. It's a press release from CARE. But they say in the last midterm election alone, a study conducted by M. Gage USA found that Muslim voters grew by 25% from 2014 in key swing states like Ohio, Virginia, and Michigan, they report. But today, a coalition of Muslim organizations holding voter registration drives more than 50 locations across the nation. By the way, the Islamic Education Center of Houston has launched a chartered Cub Scout troop that is officially under the auspices of the Boy Scouts of America, reports the Clarion Project. A Shiite mosque has a history of extremism, got its Cub Scout program off the ground July 24th. Taking a look at other news from the Washington Free Beacon, the U.S. military conducted the first test of a ground-launch cruise missile since the U.S. withdrew from the landmark 1987 Intermediate-Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia this month. The flight test of the missile took place Sunday afternoon from San Nicolas Island, that's off the coast of Los Angeles. I came across this story this morning, and I just have not heard anything like this before. But it's a newly, this comes to us from Newsweek, a newly elected member of the St. Louis County Council chose to be sworn in with a Dr. Seuss book rather than a Bible. Earlier this month, Democrat Kelly Dunaway beat Republican Alderman Amy Pulker for the 2nd District seat. Since election regulations don't require politicians to swear their oath of office on a Bible, Dunaway opted to lay her hand on Dr. Seuss's 1990 bestseller, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Her son and daughter held the book for her during the swearing-in ceremony on August 13th. A former field organizer at Obama for America, Dunaway said in a Facebook post that the book offers a message of inspiration to anyone embarking on a new phase of life, whether it's a high school graduation, the jump from kindergarten to first grade, or even the next stage of a political career. Dunaway told the St. Louis Public Radio she wants to restore honor and integrity to county government. What a way to restore honor and integrity by taking your oath of office on a Dr. Seuss book. Coming to us from the Christian Post, Christian leaders are hailing the Trump administration's decision to remove Bibles and other religious books from the list of Chinese goods facing a 10% hike in tariffs. The Office of U.S. Trade Ambassador Robert Lighthizer said that the 10% tariff hike on Chinese goods starting September 1st will not affect Bibles, according to multiple reports. Well, friends, it's happened again. How often have we warned about these drag queen story hours happening in libraries and preschoolers? It's just atrocious what's going on. And now from OneNewsNow.com, after exposing two convicted sex offenders earlier this year, the grassroots group Texas Mass Resistance went to war with city leaders in liberal-run Austin after city leaders shrugged off the disturbing criminal history and faulted the conservative activists for politicizing the pro-LGBT story hours. Well, Mass Resistance kept digging and soon found the criminal history of another Austin-based drag queen known as Miss Kitty Litter, who has also participated in drag story time for children at Austin's public library. This individual had been arrested and convicted of offering sex for money in 1996. Another drag queen reader exposed as being a lewd criminal is their headline. Well, there's another big case of a Christian's free speech rights versus LGBT rights back in the courts, and that's going on today, reports CBN. 2 years ago, a Kentucky appeals court ruled in favor of Hands On Originals. It's a printing company that refused to print gay pride t-shirts because it goes against the owner's religious beliefs. However, because the County Human Rights Commission appealed the case, the owner has to go back to court again. This time, his continuing battle over the First Amendment rights being heard by the Kentucky Supreme Court, that's going on today. Back in 2012, Adamson, that's the owner, refused to print a t-shirt designed for the Gay and Lesbian Services Organization, which promoted the group's Pride Festival. He explained that he could not print a shirt bearing a message that conflicts with his faith. He then offered to connect this group to another printer who would create the shirts for the same price that he would have charged. Well, they rejected the offer, filed a discrimination complaint. You see, it wasn't about getting the t-shirts printed. No, it was filing this discrimination complaint with the Lexington Fayette Urban County Human Rights Commission. The commission declared Adamson was guilty of illegal discrimination and ordered him to print shirts with messages that conflicted with his religious beliefs. In May of 2017, the Kentucky Court of Appeals rescinded the commission's findings, ruling that Adamson is free to decline orders that would require him to print messages that conflict with his religious beliefs. So the Human Rights Commission appealed the decision to the Kentucky Supreme Court. He's being represented by Alliance Defending Freedom, that case taking place today before the Kentucky Supreme Court. For Matt Saber at Liberty Council, who incidentally is scheduled to be with us on Monday, the Trump administration has proposed a rule that will protect faith-based organizations that contract with the federal government by allowing them to make employment decisions consistent with their sincerely held religious beliefs. The proposed rule by the U.S. Department of Labor's Office of Federal Contract and Compliance Programs ensures that conscience and religious freedoms are given the broadest protection permitted by law. The proposed rule, which just came out here this week, open for public comment now for some 30 days. Actually, it was late last week that came out. From LifeSiteNews.com, a public art event in Grand Rapids, Michigan next month is going to feature men and women with Down syndrome performing as drag queens and drag kings. A drag group known as the Drag Syndrome is comprised of performers with Down syndrome and is an LGBT activist attempt to promote so-called inclusion. The show is scheduled to be performed on September 7th. Well, things are going right in Hungary. LifeSiteNews.com reports that advocates for marriage and family in Budapest netted an apparent partial victory this week. A report says after pushing back against controversial pro-LGBT advertisements placed in public locations throughout the Hungarian capital by multinational corporation Coca-Cola. Provocative and suggestive photos of same-sex couples closely sharing a Coke along with a rainbow-themed advertising stating love is love and contains slogans such as zero sugar, zero prejudice displayed in Coca-Cola ads beginning earlier this month in train stations and at bus stops in Budapest. However, pro-family forces got involved. A petition went viral, and I guess these things are coming down as the pro Hungarian family movement gets involved in this issue. Well, not only are things happening in Hungary, but let's go to Germany. Here we have a girl suing to join a 500-year-old boys choir and loses a court case. This is an accusation originally hit state and cathedral choir, a German all-boys group that was affiliated with Berlin's University of the Arts. After a 9-year-old girl's application was rejected, after auditioning, the girl was told she simply lacked the talent and motivation to be a part of the choir. Well, the discrimination complaint stemmed then from the girl's mother. And by the way, Germany's travel information website says there's about 60,000 choirs in Germany, but she wanted to be part of the boys' choir. What's interesting is the state and cathedral choir, it was founded in 1465, predating the German state itself, has never had a female member, but now a girl is suing to join this 500-year-old boys' choir and now has lost the court case. From WND.com. A federal judge has ruled that a university's strategy to give funds generated by mandatory student fees to groups and messages its officials favored is unconstitutional and has to change. The case erupted 2 years ago when officials at the school ordered pro-life students to pay $75 in activities fees every semester and then use those proceeds to fund pro-abortion speakers. Well, Alliance Defending Freedom explained at the time that the university funds pro-abortion and other favored views with almost $300,000 in mandatory fees, but denied Students for Life $500 in funding to host a visiting speaker on abortion and human equality to provide a contrasting view. So $300,000 to promote death and saying no to $500 to promote life. Well, the university had claimed it prohibits all of its more than 100 student groups from spending the fees on speakers. The complaint explained that the Gender Equity Center and the LGBTQTA Pride Center enjoy preferential status and, as such, are exempt from the rule. Let's go to Superior, Wisconsin. Yes, northern Wisconsin, next to Duluth. This week, the Superior, Wisconsin City Council passed a ban on so-called conversion therapy. Under this new ordinance, anyone under 18 cannot be subjected to any treatment or counseling that aims to change their sexual orientation or gender identity, reports WDIO.com. They are systematically going through the state of Wisconsin right now, community by community, to pass a ban on so-called conversion therapy. Back in just a minute. It's a News Roundup Friday on Crosstalk here on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, have investigators found any evidence of life in outer space?
Not a bit, Chris. They've pointed their telescopes to the skies hoping to pick up any signal that's non-random, like Morse code. Actually, they're setting their sights rather low. They think that just a few letters would indicate intelligent life. But at the same time, scientists look at the incredibly complex information-loaded DNA code with billions of letters all in a precise sequence and call it random. In spite of this incredible complexity, atheistic scientists refuse to believe that it's the evidence of intelligence. Yet they say that the simple hoped-for code from outer space would be the sign of intelligent life. How inconsistent! At least the creation model doesn't depend on claims such as this. Let's go back to Genesis and get it right.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a Friday News Roundup Day today, and many issues going on. We were just mentioning here at as we finished off the last segment about how systematically things are going through the state of Wisconsin on this ban on so-called conversion therapy. It is atrocious what is taking place, but Wisconsin's not alone in this, and Kansas also has an issue that's going on right now. And from the Family Policy Alliance of Kansas, they mentioned that over the summer, LGBTQ plus activists have been targeting cities in Johnson County to pass sexual orientation and gender identity ordinances. These are the types of laws that have been used to target cake bakers and wedding photographers, T-shirt designers, and other businesses. Well, cities like Shawnee, Leawood, Lenexa, Olathe, Overland Park, currently on the target list for groups that want to force residents to agree with their sexual agenda. The ordinances force women to use intimate spaces such as bathrooms alongside biological males in shelters, government buildings, even some businesses. If you live in one of the cities being targeted to pass a SOG, that's a sexual orientation gender identity ordinance, reach out to your city council, says Brittany Jones, director of advocacy for the Kansas, the Family Policy Alliance of Kansas. She says, reach out to your city council members. Let them know that you disagree with these policies systematically going through Kansas, beginning with Johnson County. And folks, once they start in Johnson County, it'll be coming to your communities there as well. Some things are continuing. I mean, that we've lost our mind in our thinking today. Common sense has been thrown out the window. LifeSiteNews.com tells the story of the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms. This is in Canada. Has written to the Alberta Human Rights Commission on behalf of Alberta resident Todd P., who is facing a formal complaint under the Alberta Human Rights Act for having asked about the age and gender of a potential babysitter for his young children. He's a single father. He's got two sons, ages 5 and 8 at the time. So he posted an ad looking for a babysitter for an evening. One of those who responded to the ad was now the complainant, James Sirenowski. The father replied to Mr. Sirenowski asking some basic questions about him, including what town he lived in, what's his age, whether he was male or female. He answered the questions. However, the dad's plans fell through. He canceled the plans to hire a sitter and didn't think things were going to go any further than that. Didn't follow up either which way. Well, rather than follow up with the father, Mr. Sirenowski filed a human rights complaint against the father the very next day, alleging discrimination on the basis of age and gender in violation of Section 8 of the Alberta Human Rights Act. The Justice Center is representing Todd pro bono in the case, has learned that the father is one of many parents who, after they did not hire Mr. Sirenowski as a babysitter, were subsequently subject to human rights complaints. From Judicial Watch, an Obama-appointed federal judge is forcing Wisconsin taxpayers to provide costly sex reassignment surgery and hormonal procedures for low-income transgender residents who get free medical care from the government. In a recently issued ruling, U.S. District Judge William Conley writes that Medicaid cannot deny the medical treatment needs of those suffering from gender dysphoria. Officials estimate it will cost up to $1.2 million annually to provide transgender Medicaid recipients in the Badger State with treatments such as gender confirmation surgery. Yesterday, we had Brad Dacus with us from the Pacific Justice Institute. And shortly after he was on with us, matter of fact, it came out this morning, another issue that they're involved in. They're representing a Bible school in the South Pacific against bizarre claims by a practitioner of witchcraft. And again, this will tell you how far things are going, not only here in the U.S., but in other places around the world as well. Zazra Hadra applied for a job in the business office of Yukon International University. It's a Christian Bible school. It's located in the island of Saipan, Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. It's a U.S. territory. He didn't get to the job and so initiated a labor complaint, and the school felt coerced into agreeing to hire him. Well, he didn't show up for his first day of work. And when he did not appear later in the week, he refused to agree with the school's faith statement and that other employees had to sign. He informed them that he's a priest of a Haitian form of voodoo. And when it became clear that his beliefs and practices were diametrically opposed to theirs, the school sent him a termination letter detailing the incompatibility of witchcraft with the Christian faith. Well, the UConn is a ministry of a Baptist church. The church also operates a K-12 Christian school at the same location. Well, this individual, through an attorney, demanded the equivalent of several years' wages after he had spent less than a week on the job. So with this, the school declined to pay this exorbitant amount. So then he obtained a right to sue notice from the U.S. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and filed suit in the U.S. District Court for the Northern Mariana Islands. The complaint was served in late July. The school filed its answer this very week. In Saipan, this individual is so well known for filing discrimination suits, some of which have been quickly thrown out of courts, and others he's been able to settle for thousands of dollars. That matter of fact, they say that the CMMI legislature recently introduced a resolution, calling him a persona non grata. Brad Dacus said this case illustrates how well-intended and important workplace discrimination laws can be horribly misused and abused. We intend to vigorously defend this Bible school as long as it takes to achieve justice. From LifeNews.com, the small European nation of Iceland recently drew international scrutiny for its nearly 100% abortion rate for unborn babies diagnosed with Down syndrome. The deadly discriminatory practice drew massive outrage from across the world. But now Iceland lawmakers did not react by passing protections for unborn babies. Quite the opposite. Earlier this year, they voted to expand abortion. Then on Sunday, their prime minister joined other political leaders, scientists, and environmental activists to hold a funeral. To hold a funeral for a melting glacier, The Connect reports. The government paid to erect a bronze plaque at the site of the dead glacier, according to the report. CBS had shocked the world with a report about Iceland's near 100% abortion rate for babies with Down syndrome. Just a handful of children with Down syndrome have been born in Iceland for the past decade. Two are born each year on average, but the rest are killed in the womb. No problem with that, but they hold a funeral for a melting glacier. We talk about those who are so-called pro-choice, which indeed they are pro-abortion, pro-killing babies in the womb, and their lack of regard for love and life. Here's from LifeNews.com. Australian police charged two men with making violent threats against the New South Wales lawmakers who oppose a radical pro-abortion bill. In the message, left for the Liberal Member of Parliament, Tanya Davies, a man allegedly said, "I will slit your throat." You see, when you don't have regard for life, you have no morals. Your moral compass has vanished. And so to slit the throat of a member of Parliament who is voting on this and taking a position against it, you don't have qualms with that. No scruples with that, because life means nothing to you. In another case, we find that on the opposite end of this, we have a news release that Personhood Alliance announces their first sanctuary county in America. The Yadkin County Board of Commissioners in Yadkinville, North Carolina, passed a resolution this week to designate Yadkin County as the nation's first sanctuary county for preborn children. Personhood North Carolina President Pastor Keith Pavlansky said Yadkin County is the first full county in the nation to become a sanctuary for preborn children, and this resolution is just the first step. Good for you. Okay, here's a column from townhall.com. During discussion on the popular website Reddit, users who state they are rabid feminists were found gleefully discussing the abortion of baby boys simply because they are boys. One said, "I've aborted the baby once. I found out it was a boy. What I know for sure is if I had kept it, I wouldn't have loved it like I'd love a daughter," another said. "I don't know how to raise a boy when I genuinely hate modern men and masculinity," someone else lamented. Again, you see, when you don't have regard for life, your moral compass completely gone. From the New American, the UN has continued to bark orders at America as if the U.S. government were a mere administrative unit in which globalists described as a new world order. Well, in a recent pro-abortion screed, for example, a spokesman for the UN human rights apparatus said the global body was very concerned about state laws proliferating across the United States that regulate or restrict the killing of preborn babies. Killing babies is a human right, at least according to the United Nations. And just last week, a top UN official teamed up with a fake news propagandist at CNN to undermine the nuclear family, calling it a fantasy that must be attacked by the government. LifeNews.com tells us of Democrat candidate Julian Castro would provide more protection for dogs and cats than he would for unborn babies if elected president. The presidential candidate introduced his plan for animal welfare, including a ban on euthanizing dogs and cats in animal shelters. Now, he does not believe that babies in the womb deserve similar protections. Instead, he supports abortion on demand and recently headlined an event with the nation's largest abortion provider, Planned Parenthood. Kill babies in the womb? Just do not euthanize a dog or cat in a shelter. Life News also reports that American Civil Liberties Union wants the federal court to permanently block a new Ohio law that protects unborn babies from abortion. On Tuesday, the pro-abortion legal group asked the judge to extend its temporary block on the heartbeat law, which protects unborn babies from the abortion once their heartbeats are detectable. The ACLU argued that because the state did not appeal a preliminary injunction, the court should permanently block the law. On the brighter side, LifeSiteNews.com reports Wednesday, the Ohio Supreme Court refused to hear the appeal of a late-term abortion facility, the Women's Med Center of Dayton, which has been challenging a decision by the Ohio Department of Health not to renew its facility license based on the fact that the clinic could not comply with licensing regulations. The Supreme Court decided not to hear the Women's Med Center appeal, so it let stand the 2018 Ohio Court of Appeals decision, which ruled that the Department of Health had full legal authority to deny a facility license to clinics that do not meet the licensing requirements and regulations that ordered them to halt abortions. The facility has been operating under an expired license since 2015. It's been going on for 4 years. When they first brought this thing forward, they've been allowed to continue abortions during that time while this legal drama played out, resulting in the hospitalization of several abortion patients, not to mention the number of innocent lives that have been killed. Speaking of the taking of life, Canadian Sean Taggart, age 41, killed by assisted suicide after health officials decided to cut the funding for his in-home care hours. He has ALS. His illness reduced his ability to move his body, eat, or speak. His mental awareness, though, remained unaffected. Doctors recommended 24-hour care. Vancouver Coastal Health offered him 15 and a half hours of care, which was then raised to 20 hours a day, forcing him to pay the other $263 some a day. And then they started cutting back on this as well. And after receiving news, he wrote a letter of a number of devastating social media statuses, which read, "So last Friday, I officially submitted my medically assisted death paperwork with lawyers and doctors. Everything is in proper order. It's been a month since I submitted my appeal to the Vancouver Coastal Health Patient Care Quality Department. They didn't even respond. Welcome to the great Canadian healthcare system. Mr. Taggart was killed by assisted suicide on August 6th. Back with some more stories after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
The Bible follows the rise and fall of kingdoms and governments, covers millennia of ancient history, and reveals God's plan for humanity through powerful accounts that still speak to us today. In the hardcover book, Charting the Bible Chronologically, authors Tommy Ice and Ed Heinzen have teamed up to provide readers a panoramic view of the events recorded in Scripture, all laid out in chronological order. This book takes you from the words "in the beginning" all the way to the New Jerusalem. With 40-plus full-color charts, you will see timelines of biblical history, pre-flood genealogy, Israel, the life of Christ, and a master fold-out chart of the entire Bible. This is a vital resource for new believers and Bible scholars alike, providing a visual guide to God's unfolding plan. Charting the Bible Chronologically is available for a donation of $25 or more to VCY. Call 1-800-729-9829. 1-800-729-9829.
I trust your burden to pray has been increased even by hearing what's going on in our nation and other places around the world as well. Our only hope is Jesus, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just interject something here. Many of you are familiar with Dr. Warren Wiersbe. Dr. Wiersbe, to some, was known as the pastor of pastors. He was a man who surrendered his life to Jesus Christ at the age of 16. Later in life, he became the pastor at Moody Memorial Church. He was a speaker for a number of years on the Back to the Bible broadcast. He also, at that time, started writing what is known as the B series. Matter of fact, just finished going through one of his books, Be Alert, a study of 2 Peter, 2 and 3 John, and Jude. And this has been close to a 30-year project that he undertook. And had all of these individual B books. Many of you are familiar with what I'm talking about, and just has been an inspiration to so many as he just explains scripture in such an understandable way. And Dr. Wiersbe, just this past May, went home to be with the Lord. And our VCY bookstore is honoring him this very month. This is the 23rd anniversary of the VCY bookstore, and they have are featuring, the publishers have put together this entire B series, these individual books, into two hardcover volumes. If you would get all of these books individually, it's somewhere about $700 it would cost for the many, many books, but put together in two hard volumes, they are, $89.99. But this month of August of 2019, this month only, this being the 23rd anniversary of the VCY bookstore, they are reducing that by another 45% and making this Wiersbe Bible Commentary set, two hardcover volumes, for $49.49. Now, the VCY bookstore is part of our ministry here at VCY America. It is there to serve. It's a ministry, as this broadcast is. And they have these only through August 31st at that reduced price, some 2,500 pages, these Bible commentaries. And it is just a fraction. This would be what just a few books would cost otherwise. But this is only through August 31st. And I'm just going to mention their website. You can go online to vcy.com, vcy.com, or you may call them during their regular business hours, Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, 10 to 4, Central Time, at this toll-free number, and you can request this Wiersbe Bible Commentary. They have it for $49.49, plus any applicable taxes. If you need it shipped to you, there will be shipping expenses. But just a tribute to Warren Wiersbe and his great work to assist in understanding of Scripture in Bible study and teaching God's Word. The number at the bookstore right now is 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829, or go to vcy.com. There's just a single line going in there, so if you find it busy, you're best going online, vcy.com, or 1-888-722-4829. We would like to welcome new listeners to Crosstalk that are listening now in New Mexico over a series of translators there. Also, the newer listeners in Tucson, Arizona as well. Good to have you here with us on Crosstalk. Just want to share a few more stories with you here during this segment. From LifeNews.com, Kirsten Gillibrand is putting abortion front and center in her presidential campaign. She visited the St. Louis, Missouri this past Sunday to brag about how much she supports abortion on demand. She said, "We need a next president who is unabashedly pro-choice. Someone who is going to see women's reproductive freedom as a basic civil rights and human rights that they are. They should be our decisions to be made no matter what." She's promised not to give an inch on abortion, to support it for any reason up to birth. The pro-abortion blog, The Mary Sue Reports, if elected, that Gillibrand said that her goals include forcing taxpayers to fund abortions by repealing the Hyde Amendment, nominating only pro-abortion judges, and codifying Roe v. Wade into federal law. An interesting candidate out of Louisiana, Conservative Tribune. This is a Representative Ralph Abraham. He's a congressman in Louisiana, serving his third term in the House, has tossed his hat in the ring now for governor of the state. And he just released an ad, I believe it was yesterday, in which he said, "Here's the truth. Life begins at conception. Government is too big. Our taxes are too high and our car insurance is too expensive. President Trump is doing a great job. Facts matter more than feelings. The Second Amendment is self-explanatory. And as a doctor, I can assure you there are only two genders." My, I tell you, there's a lot that are getting unglued because of his statements being made there. Since we are involved, let's see, by the way, former Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper has ended his presidential campaign, is going to be seeking a seat in the U.S. Senate. Also, we have Governor Jay Inslee of Washington dropping out of the race. He dropped out on Wednesday of this week. He said it became clear to him he had no path forward in the nomination. Climate change was a signature issue there. There's to be a candidate forum September 20th. Candidates who take the stage at Coe College in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, to lay out exactly how they plan to fight for LGBTQ lives if elected president. The candidates will discuss how they will deal with LGBTQ and other civil rights issues, specifically in the heartland and rural America, reports The Advocate. I would like to share with you a couple audio clips here, and I know time is running late. But first of all, we have Senator Liz Warren saying this week that she's doing the work of the Lord. There's God in every single one of us. Now, she is speaking at the Black Church Political Action Committee's Youth Leadership Conference in Atlanta on Saturday morning. Listen to what she had to say.
My life has been anchored around my faith, and in particular, the guiding principle for me has been Matthew 25. And I know I come into a room like this, I don't have to tell the story, that you all know about the separation when the shepherd has to decide how to separate the goats from the sheep. And I think of the passage after they're separated and the sheep say, "Why us, Lord? What did we do?" And when the Lord says, "For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me." Right? I was in prison. There we go. "And ye visited me." I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. And when the sheep say, "But we don't remember seeing you, Lord," that the Lord says, "Inasmuch as ye hath done it unto one of these, the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." And for me, what that's about is two things. The first is there's God in every single one of us. Every single one of us has the Lord within us. And that's what that passage means. And secondly, that the Lord does not call on us to sit back. The Lord does not call on us just to have a good heart. The Lord calls us to act. To feed the hungry, to give water to the thirsty, to visit those in prison. That this is what the Lord requires of us. And my life has been about those twin parts. First is the worth of every single human being. And second is the obligation to act. I know that sometimes right now in this country, it's a hard fight. And it feels that we fight in vain. But we do not. This is a righteous fight. This is a righteous fight. This is a righteous fight. We fight it for the right reasons, and we will do what is right for the people who are counting on us.
Wow. Okay. Now, here's her contrasted statement on abortion just not too long ago. This is from the last debate.
Senator Warren, would you put limits on any limits on abortion?
I would make certain that every woman has access to the full range of reproductive health care services, and that includes birth control. It includes abortion.
Yeah, it includes abortion. And so if God's in every one of us, as she attested to in the previous comment, do you see something double standard there? Also, speaking at this conference, Cory Booker and saying, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Listen to the religious speech that comes forth in a way to appeal to the crowds. But certainly not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Listen to what Cory Booker had to say at the Young Leaders Conference sponsored by the Black Church Political Action Committee.
I want to let you all know right now that we are in a time of moral crisis. It is a crisis of virtue. So many of the problems we see are symptoms of that spiritual crisis that we are in. And if we as members of the faith community do not understand that this is the very calling of our time, to deal with the spiritual crisis that we are in. I get very frustrated when people want to try to separate this idea of the role of the church and the role of the civic space. That is just not true. You can no more divide your own body, because the church is not four walls. The church is the body of Christ. And I believe, as Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things, but y'all, I got to call it out. It says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. Now, Christ does not strengthen you to sit on the sidelines. Christ does not strengthen you to sit on the couch. This is not a spectator sport. Martin Luther King said it best. When his era, in his moral moment, he said we have to repent in our day and age, not just for the vitriolic words and violent actions of the bad people, but the appalling silence and inaction of the good people. And so I want to call the faith community together, because faith without works is faith without works is. And we need to bring this nation back to life. There is too much death. There is too much darkness. And if the faith community does not lead, we will never make it to the promised land.
Okay, too much death. Again, a strong proponent of abortion. A strong proponent of abortion. And he talked about living out your faith. If I could go back and play for you his grilling that happened this past February of a candidate for the D.C. Court of Appeals about her religious beliefs. This was a Naomi Rao, who is a nominee for the D.C. Court of Appeals, and just grilled her over the coals because of her position, on LGBT related issues and the statements that she had made on that. A lady was living out her faith. Now, certainly, she separated those views from any decisions that she made on the bench. But something's wrong here, folks. I'd like to open our lines. Our time is short, but if you wanted to comment here, we'll take calls in our final segment. Our number is 1-800-733-9829. 1-800-733-9829. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewradio.com. My friends, Americans have been under a brainwashing operation for a long time. And not only are they following the philosophies of the Marxist from the Frankfurt School that came to America in 1933 from Germany, they're also following the ideas of an organization known as the Tavistock Institute. The Tavistock Institute did research on people who would go to war, who were POWs and who were interrogated. And what their research showed is that they could pit individuals against each other. And the goal was to pit people against each other and create stress, and to see if they could create so much stress and disunity that people would let go of their convictions. This philosophy and idea has been used on the American people at every level, education, media, and religion, to create stress, opposites colliding, and then for people to say, finally, I will let go of my convictions and join the liberal group consensus. Beware of this brainwashing.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America, and we've got covered a lot of news. Matter of fact, I've got more news that could fill up this segment and more, but let's go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk. Racine, Wisconsin. Lat, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Jim. Great shows today. It just shows that Elizabeth Warren and Cory Booker are basically a wolf in sheep's clothing, and the more that we are the church that are in the Word, we see the discernment and the foolishness of the Bible, and people shouldn't be fooled by these politicians that say one thing and then say another, because basically Satan is controlling these people, and we just got to pray for these politicians that will come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's the only thing that can change the depraved mind is Jesus Christ.
Amen, Jim. Amen. Thank you, Lat. Thank you for the call. Mark in Monroe, you're on the air.
Yeah, my comment is in reference to Cory Booker. I mean, this guy ripped so much big time on Brett Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. And everybody and their brother should have figured out by then he was going to use that whole thing as his political platform. And he's doing, I mean, I don't think this guy's getting anywhere at all in his presidential campaign. And the point I really want to make about it is this is just how much these guys will, you know, throw every caution to the wind to promote their cause and have absolutely no legitimacy, you know, for righteousness sake. And it just stands out. I hope everybody picks up on that.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Alex in Albuquerque, New Mexico, you're on the air.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to make a comment about that Elizabeth Warren. Just talk about, man, ignorance of the Bible, trying to take a verse and apply it to somebody that's for a different group of people in a different time period. Also stresses out the importance of dispensationalism to rightly divide the word.
Yeah.
And just also the hypocrisy. If you want to open the Bible, well, what about abortion? What about homosexuality? I mean,
yep.
If the enemies know the Bible, just how the devil quoted Scripture, we need to learn it better. And that just, nothing really troubles me more than taking the Bible out of context and fooling innocent people.
And indeed, Satan, Scripture says that Satan, no marvel, for he transforms himself into an angel of light. And we will have those who will use key buzzwords, but they're using a different dictionary definition.
Amen, brother. Amen. I just wanted to stress those two points about rightly dividing dispensation and the hypocrisy, too.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you.
Ron in Kentucky, you're on the air.
Yes, I was calling where Elizabeth Warren and them are all speaking at the churches and saying what they have to say and all. The Bible says you shall know them by their fruit. And when they are for things that are obviously and clearly against the Bible and against the Word of God, you don't vote for those people. And for them to even let those people come and speak at their churches is mystifying to me.
Well, this was a political action committee. Thank you, Ron.
Thank you.
Yvonne in Delmar, Maryland, you're on the air.
Yes, I was really concerned when the fellow was saying that the works... faith without dead is works. Well, that's true, but people don't understand the work is what Jesus said in John 17 in his prayer. He said, we do the works of God, which is to let the world know that the Father sent him. That's the work of God, that the world may know that the Father sent him. And when we visit the sick and we visit the poor, it's to let them know that the world, you know, let them know that We have to spread the gospel. That's the work. And so these people, they don't understand. They don't really understand at all. And when she commented on Matthew 25, I mean, you know, all those things, we visited the name of Jesus. We just don't do those things. If we're doing it in our own strength, it's man's works and it's not the Lord's. And it's just so sad that these people don't really understand what Christianity is all about.
Thank you, Yvonne. And that's where it's up to us to not only tell, but to live it as well. Brad in West Allis, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim, it is hilarious when these Marxists delve into God's Word, pull out verses, turn them into political buzzwords, and then try to use them as political weapons on people who are Christians, Jews, conservatives, etc. It's amazing. They couldn't care less about what Jesus wants. They're not interested in context. They're not interested in truth at all. All they want is to use it to get somewhere. And I'm wondering if when Jesus said about he separates the sheep from the goats and tells the goats that you're going to hell, and then the goats say, when did we see that? Didn't we prophesy in your name, et cetera, et cetera? I wonder if some of this ripping out of context, refashioning it, and using it as a weapon is some of this prophesying in his name that he's going to reject.
You know, how disparaging it would be to hear those words, depart from me, I never knew you.
Oh, yeah, you don't want to hear that.
Yeah, not at all. Thank you, Brad.
Thank you.
Appreciate the comments here today. And friends, the issues here are just so significant as to what we're facing here across this country. Let's pick up one final call from Kentucky. Lillian, you're on the air. Hello, Lillian. Okay, Lillian hung up there. That's all the time we're going to have for calls here today on the program. But ladies and gentlemen, understand the importance of the hour. This is not a time to fall asleep, but it's to be certainly awake and alert to what's going on. Scripture says to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And though I know it's come out, some have said, oh, the devil is nothing more than just a symbol. He's just some force out there. No, indeed. Indeed, he is one that is a person. It is not a force. And but we are to be watchful of the wiles of the devil, to stand against those, to put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and by all to take up that shield of faith, and then also to have that sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always. Our time is gone here on Crosstalk. Thanks for tuning in, and I encourage you again to keep this matter in prayer. We'll be joining for corporate prayer tomorrow at Trail Ridge Camp. Looking forward to being with many for the special day of prayer that's taking place to be praying for our nation, our families, our churches, and we trust that wherever you are that you will do that as well. Our time is gone, and by the way, if you wanted to take advantage of that Warren Wiersbe set here by the end of the month, contact our bookstore at vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. The Lord's Day is coming. I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.